Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. What is deconstruction? Why has the term become relevant today in the context of deconstructing Christianity? Is this a new term or an application of a philosophical idea adopted by Christians who are disheartened, disillusioned on one hand, or hungry for authenticity on the other? Is there a difference between deconstruction and deconversion? Pastor Stephen Sharkey joins us from Granite City Church. He's grappled with the subject, aware that while the term may be elusive, the impact on Christians and families requires engagement. As in Matthew 7:24-29, it is a matter of building on rock or sand. We pause here just for a moment at the beginning of our program, as we typically do, to remind you, dear friend, the reason we have the Good Life program, it's simple. It's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, the one who makes a difference in the lives of people, as Stephen will explain. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, offering God's hope. Will you turn to Jesus today, my friend? And if you already know the Lord, well, I believe you're going to be encouraged and challenged. Pastor Stephen Sharkey is the lead pastor at Granite City Church in Quincy, Massachusetts. He and his wife, Kathleen, have been married since 2004. They have three young boys. Stephen is a graduate of North Park Theological Seminary and is ordained in the Evangelical Covenant Church. Pastor Stephen, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Danny, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the city of Chicago until I was in about junior high, and then my dad was a pastor, and he took a new church in Ohio, and so we left the city, and that was really hard for me. I missed the city a lot, and so the first chance I got as soon as I graduated, I went back to the city. I went back to school in Chicago, and I was there for years.
What was the difference for you, having grown up part of your younger years in Chicago, and then part in Ohio?
Yeah, well, where do I start? I guess I can start with day one when we moved to Ohio. And my mom remembers well, I came home from school that day and I said, "Mom, all the kids are white." And of course, I'm white, but I had never been in a monocultural context, monoethnic context. And so right off the bat, even at a young age, I just felt like, there's something very different about this world than the world that I just came from. And something inside of me missed that. I longed to be with people who were different. And it was, I think, years later until I could kind of put a finger on why. But I think God was doing something in me at an early age.
What part of Ohio?
Northeast Ohio. So that's kind of the Rust Belt, a lot of steel used to be manufactured. Right, our home in Youngstown, Ohio, is right in between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So, and it's halfway between New York City and Chicago as well. So kind of a crossroads a bit.
Who would you say, Stephen, influenced you most?
Sure.
In your growing up years?
Sure. Yeah, I love this question because I feel like my answer is the answer that I wish it could be for everybody, and that's my parents. You know, they were an incredible influence on me. My dad is a pastor, or is now a retired pastor, and I never felt jaded or needing to like run away from the church because of my experience with the church or my parents. They did such a good job just in raising me up and answering hard questions as my sister and I grew up. And And so they were incredible influence on me, and my grandparents as well. They showed me just what a beautiful marriage could look like, and I really try to model my marriage after what I saw in them and my parents as well. And then when I went off to school, I met a young Korean man. He was about 8 years older than me, and he just began to mentor me in the ministry. And that's really where a heart kind of exploded inside of me for doing church in a multi-ethnic context. And that was very transformative for me.
Go a little further on the mentorship of this Korean man that you talk about. Share his name as well.
Yeah.
But what was it in the experience with him that was so different?
Yeah, so his name is Peter Hong, and a few years after we met and had been just in this mentor-mentee relationship, we planted a church together in Chicago. But it was early on, the thing that he did for me was he just showed just incredible interest in my life. He asked me hard questions. He was very intentional from the beginning in saying, this is what I love. I love being in relationship with people to help them be more like Jesus. And so right from the get-go, it was this intentional relationship where it's like, wow, if I can model my life after this person that I'm watching follow Jesus, then I can be more like Jesus. And even at that, I was only like 20, 21 at the time. But looking back, I was like, wow, something was happening in me that I couldn't even name at the time. And that was just me kind of falling in love with Jesus by seeing somebody who was in love with Jesus. And that continued to grow and nurture in my life for years to come.
Are you still in touch with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure thing. Whenever, challenges come up in church ministry, pastoral ministry, family life, whatever, I give him a call, and he's great.
So. You mentioned growing up, your father's a pastor, mentored by Peter Hong. Take us on your spiritual journey. One might think, well, it's pretty obvious what your spiritual journey is. You grew up in a Christian home, but there are textures to it, aren't there?
Yeah, sure.
And what were some of those textures along the way?
Yeah, so I think that early on, in my growing up, one of the things I realized, and again, this is one of those things like later on I realized looking back, I really had the gift of faith, I think, growing up, and my sister as well. And sometimes those are things, these are gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. But my parents nurtured that in us where there was, we did not go through huge like seasons of doubt. So here we are, I'd love to talk about deconstruction today, but my story of deconstruction was not a deconstructing of my faith. And it was kind of trying to figure out where does the church fit into a world that's broken? Why does the church ignore some things like race and racism in ways that that feel disingenuous to who Jesus is? And so I was trying to figure out that stuff as I was growing up. But the beautiful thing is that my parents, they created an atmosphere where asking questions was a good thing. And my dad, because he had come into his faith just via like deep, rich apologetic studies, because he was an atheist himself, and he just kept asking questions, and finding rich answers to those very hard questions. And so my life was one where I grew up in a space where it was very comfortable to ask hard questions, and then to not get brushed off, but to get good answers in return.
That's something that needs to be said, and I think repeated again and again in a church or Christian context where people can ask and feel that liberty to ask, to even be doubtful, as some might see it that way, but a safe place where one is able to explore further and then see the deeper riches of the truths and the shining aspects of the richness of Christianity in the midst of society, in the midst of culture. That's why I think it's so timely that you're here and that we're able to speak about this pervading and increasingly pervading subject of deconstruction or deconstructionism in the context of the church today. And thank God that you're delving in and you're engaging with your church at a critical time. You're listening to Pastor Stephen Sharkey. He's the lead pastor of Granite City Church. You can find out more about Granite City at granitecity.org. When we come back from our break, I'm going to ask him to share, give us a bird's eye view of what the Lord has, is, and he senses will do in the days to come at Granite City Church. And we're going to jump right in to deconstructionism. You don't want to miss this. We're going to go pretty deep. Some things may surprise you, but stay tuned. I think your life will be enriched because of this. GraniteCity.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the...
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. And at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, Pastor Stephen Sharkey grew up in Chicago and Northeast Ohio. He's been a part of multiple young multi-ethnic churches in Chicago, New Jersey, and Boston, including planting Granite City Church in Quincy, Massachusetts, in 2012. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Good Life program. We're talking about a touchy subject, but a subject that needs to be engaged. And I can't think of anybody better in this moment at this time than someone who is doing it with his church, Granite City Church, Pastor Stephen Sharkey. This subject is deconstructionism. But tell us a little bit about Granite City Church, past, present, and future.
Yeah, so we were birthed out of a movement called HIROC, which there's a HIROC network of churches, about 10 of us around the greater Boston area. And we formed we formalized the network, but the main thing that held us together for years was just relationship. And so a beautiful relationship across these churches, all of us connected to the Evangelical Covenant Church, which is the denomination that we're a part of. And one of the things that we experienced during the pandemic was each of our churches had individualized in its own way. They taken on the unique aspects of our various contexts wherever we were. And so the independent churches, and we were all pretty much independent churches, we kind of went our separate ways. but held on to that close relationship. And so a very amicable separation as the network separated. And so we took on a new name, Granite City Church. And part of that, the reason that we adopted that name is because we want to be as fiercely local as we can. Quincy is a city full of rich granite history, and you'll see that that name kind of battered around business signs and things like that. And so we adopted that. We merged a few years ago with a 135-year-old church in the city of Quincy called the Covenant Church of Quincy. And their story was that Swedish immigrants had come to this country, and they came to work in the granite quarries in here in the city of Quincy. And so we wanted to just hold on to that history. And of course, we want to stand on the rock that is Jesus. And that's a big part of, you know, where I dove into this whole sermon series on deconstruction, is to say, what is our life built on? and I think that we want to be able to say the word of the Lord.
Let's go there. What is deconstruction?
Yeah, so deconstruction is when you're taking whatever the cultural norms are and traditional aspects of any culture, and you start to undo those things. And it's happening all around us. But the reality is that deconstruction is something that's been happening for as long as people have been around. As long as there have been cultures to establish norms, there have been new generations to try to break down those norms. But I think that the unique thing that's happening today, and the reason why we feel like in our culture, certainly in Christian culture as well, that deconstruction seems to be accelerating, and I believe it is because the way that we look at culture has changed quite a bit. A lot of the data and the information I've received comes from this beautiful, beautiful book called After Doubt by a guy named A.J. Swoboda. And in that book, one of the things he points out is just the way that our culture has shifted in the way that we look at ourselves. Most of us, most of the cultures in the world, come from an honor-based culture where we look at our past and we honor it, we value it. But that's changed quite a bit in the postmodern era of the world. So in Western culture, where we've become individualized, a lot of what we've done is we've said we're no longer an honor-based culture, we're an achievement-based culture.
Let's come back to that.
Yeah.
What is the good, the bad, and the ugly deconstruction?
Yeah. So I think that one of the beautiful things about deconstruction is it allows us to kind of do surgery on the broken things that exist in our world. And one of the things that I said recently in a sermon was that bad theology kills. And if that's true, then we need to be able to undo bad theology in our world. Certainly, like an example of that we can point to would be like the way that slave masters used the Bible and twisted the Bible to legitimize the things that they were doing, the evil things that they were doing. So truly, truly, bad theology kills. But the answer to that is not to replace bad theology with no theology, but we need to replace it with good theology. And so deconstruction can be a good thing if we're after what God has given us in Scripture. So that's the good of deconstruction. The bad of deconstruction is that we can deconstruct our faith down to nothing. We can take the good, the beautiful things that we've been given, the beautiful things we have in Scripture, and say, oh, because there's this bad, these people in the past used this in this bad way, because they twisted theology in this way, then I'm done completely. And we see that all the time. And then the thing that I struggle with, as I, you know, and you talked a little bit about our church, we have a church that's full of people who are kind of on the edge. You know, some of them are like, this is my last try with church, or some of them have actually completely deconstructed their faith and they're just there because they're coming faithfully with a spouse, or they're still curious, but they're like, I'm not so sure. And the thing that the ugly of deconstruction that I think we certainly see in the church today is that we rarely have good things to say, and I think we shame oftentimes the young people in our churches who are deconstructing, and we'll belittle the experience that they're going through, and that only pushes them further away.
We do need to come back to honor and achievement. It lays a certain cultural, historical texture to our discussion. When you talk about pushing people away, talk about the distinction between deconstruction and deconversion.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that I've been saying to my church is that even Jesus himself was a deconstructionist. You know, we see that in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at, read through Matthew chapter 5, and over again, you hear the same phrases, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." That's Jesus deconstructing the broken theology that existed at his time and saying, well, let me take you back to what God intended in the first place. And so Jesus himself is doing his own deconstruction and reconstruction of our faith the way that it needs to be. The problem that we experience with so many of our young folks is they feel like there's no way for them to deconstruct their faith without losing it. And so they feel like I'm going to deconstruct until it's completely gone. And so they until they go through a deconversion process, if you will. And so they've done just that. They've deconstructed to no theology. They've gone from bad theology to no theology.
So maybe this brings us back to the earlier part, the honor achievement segment. Why does one have to go from deconstruction all the way to deconversion? Why do people feel they need to go that far?
Yeah. I think everybody's story is a little bit different, and that's one of the ways that we can honor those people who are going through that hard process of deconstruction. I think for some people, it's because we live in a culture and in an achievement culture. So often what we want is to be post something. We want to transcend from the brokenness of the past to the beauty of whatever the future could be. And so you have so many people who are saying, like, I'm going to be post-Christian because clearly there's this bad stuff in Christianity, so I need to transcend beyond that. But for others, you know, there are reasons that people deconstruct because they don't want to live the hard life of following a king, you know, and submitting themselves to a king. And that's one thing where, at our church, I talk about what it means that we're a part of the kingdom of God often and what it means that Jesus is that king, and we have to submit ourselves to that. And that's a hard thing for people to do. One of the things I talked about recently in the series is just the challenge of suffering. You know, your program here is called The Good Life, and I think oftentimes we confuse the good life as a life without suffering, but that's not what Jesus promises. And so I like to talk about what does human flourishing look like? Like Jesus, God has designed the world to function in a certain way for us to experience the very best life that we possibly can, but that does not necessarily mean that we're going to live a life without suffering. And so many people today, young people certainly, when they see and experience a world where they're suffering, whether they're experiencing it themselves or they're seeing it in a world that's incredibly broken, they say, the faith that I was given does not compute with that suffering. And so therefore, the faith that I was given must be wrong. And so they deconstruct. Instead of having in an honor-based culture, we might look back at the things of the past and say and receive that and say, oh wow, how can I understand the brokenness of what I'm experiencing now from the people who have gone before me who also experienced the brokenness of this world?
So that's the honor-based and the achievement-based culture. We can see that. I mean, there are things we can recognize that are deeply embedded in the new generations and the culture, as we've seen things change. I mean, we talk from the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. There's been cultural deconstruction that have been going on for a long time. What would you say to someone who is thinking, the church has no answers for me? In fact, even if the church has answers for me, I don't even want to hear it because I already know where they're coming from. I've seen it. History tells me there's really no answer for suffering. In fact, the church, Christians, the more I look at it, they're the cause of suffering. Mm. I feel it even in my own heart, one might say. What does Pastor Stephen Sharkey say to someone in that place?
I think one thing that I want to say is that as a member of the clergy, what I want to say is I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that there's been, that the church has a history of missing so badly the desperate moments where we can speak into the brokenness that we're experiencing in the world. But then one thing I want to say to them is, like, look at the person of Jesus. And again, I don't want to decouple Jesus with the church, because Jesus was deeply in love with the church. Jesus died for the church. But look at the person of Jesus. Read through the Sermon on the Mount. Do you see it as compelling? Like, look at this Jesus who comes along, and he doesn't say we're not going to experience suffering, but he's saying, I'm going to be with you in the midst of that suffering. The beautiful parable that he gives at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he's saying, you know, look at the wise man who built his life on the rock. You know, the rains came down, the winds blew, but he remained firm on the rock. And then he talks about the foolish man. Exact same wording. The rains came down and the winds blew, but it was built on the sand, it came down with a great crash. And I look at those two verses, verses 25 and 27, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 7, where you see almost the exact same wording. So Jesus doesn't say, hey, your problems are going to go away if your life is built on him. He says, if your life, the wind's still going to come, the rain's still going to come, but Jesus isn't going anywhere. And I think that's actually, because there's some truth in that. I think so much of what young people today, and not just young people, but, you know, Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, what they want to hear is honesty and say, hey, guess what? This world is going to be messed up, but there's a Jesus who came, there's a God who came into this world who experienced all of that. And he's not going anywhere. And he says, you know what? You're going to experience it too, but I'm not going anywhere.
I think there are times when we need to keep in mind that some discussions like this are not meant when someone is hurting or someone is looking for, longing for a deeper level of authenticity. It's more than just a, here's the answer period or exclamation point, but the conversation must continue. Maybe in some ways like how you were when you grew up in your family, where your father and mother welcomed. It's the dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Till next time, let's keep the conversation going. You're listening to The Good Life Program, GraniteCity.org. In fact, you can listen to this message and a series on deconstructing deconstructionism at GraniteCity.org. Pastor Stephen Sharkey sharing, well, it is in a way sharing heart to heart. I mean, this is tough stuff that we're talking about. But when we come back, you're going to hear more from him. You're going to hear, well, it's a children's song. A children's song that you may have heard, or maybe not. You may have sung, or maybe not. But if it just rolls off your tongue, there's something deeper in the children's song that might shed light on one of the deep issues that we have to engage with today, with deconstructionism. Stay with us, GraniteCity.org. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So the mission of Granite City Church involves wanting God, walking in the way of Jesus, and waiting on the Holy Spirit for the renewal of all things. Well, Pastor Stephen Sharkey, the lead pastor, joins us today to talk about a tough subject, but one that needs to be addressed, deconstructionism. I don't know if you've gone online, gone on YouTube, maybe heard a podcast where people are actually deconverting from Christianity. There is a sense of disillusionment. There are many questions, some of them, much of them unanswered, but we're going to address at least a little bit today as we move forward, a deeper layer that we need to be mindful of. The Good Life Radio program here. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, watch this now. You can get this program in its entirety. Just go to drdanny.live. It's a podcast. And I would say share it with a family member or friend. A children's song. What children's song did you hear recently, Stephen, that caused you to push the pause button and think a little deeper?
Yeah, so my wife, Kathleen, she runs our children's ministry, and she called me. I was out of town last week, and she called me and said, hey, you know, we're teaching this lesson on, you know, the parable when Jesus talks about building your house on the rock. And do you remember that old song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the wise man built his house upon the rock? And I said, yeah, I kind of remember that one. She said, can you look at the lyrics of that song and tell me if this works for us to use to teach with the kids? And so I looked at it and read through. It was good, good, good. All of it pretty much follows scripture. Then it gets to the last verse, which I had forgotten. And the line goes, the blessings come down when the prayers go up. The blessings come down when the prayers go up. And that's a line that I've heard, you know, oftentimes throughout throughout my life as a church goer and as a believer. And it's not one that I even necessarily disagree with. I actually think that we need to be a people of prayer, and that God engages with and listens to and hears the prayers of his children. You know, why would he give us a stone or a snake if, you know, we're asking for bread? We have a God who longs to bless us. But I think in the context of something like building our house on the rock, so that when the storms of life come, that we're going to be solid on the rock. If what we believe and what we're handing our kids is, well, if you pray, then you're going to be blessed, then what they could very easily miss is that their lives are going to experience suffering and challenges. And I'm so sad that so many of our kids miss this. And you mentioned, you know, going online. You can go on YouTube and listen to the deconversion stories of countless young people. And I, in preparation for this sermon series, I just dove in and started listening to some of this, and I found myself weeping because so many of them have very, very similar stories. And it's the story of bad theology, and they didn't know how to deal with suffering when it came along in their life. And when suffering did come along in their life, they felt like they'd been lied to. And so so I said, how about, Kathleen, how about you do that song, but don't do the last verse? But then when I talked about it on Sunday morning, I said, hey, you know, and so many people in the church had heard the song. They knew it. They could sing along really quickly. But But I asked them, I asked the congregation, I said, how, what happens to a kid who hears that, internalizes that, when the blessings are going to come down, when the prayers go up, what happens to them when suffering comes?
Let's go on. In what way does the problem of suffering dislodge someone from their faith?
Yeah, I think that if their faith is based on a religious idea, and I use that in, I think, the truest meaning of the word religion, but not, it's not a good way. If we have a religious paradigm for our faith that says, God, if I do these things for you, then you're supposed to do these things for it. It's a transactional relationship. That's what religion really is. And not a relationship, then our kids are gonna be challenged whenever they experience suffering. Because what we're promised by Jesus in Scripture is not that we're not going to experience suffering. What we're promised is that when we do experience suffering, he's not going anywhere, that there's a solid rock.
Let's take that.
Yeah.
And thank you for explaining that. But let's take a slice. Yeah. A slice of life where someone is very closely associated with the religion, mm-hmm, of Christianity, who has either in word or action behaved in such a manner where the person who is observing this, relationally speaking, causes that person suffering.
Yeah.
How... I'm going out on a branch here.
Yeah.
How does one in their heart experience now? Because now we're talking about meaning-making experiences that people live through. Mm-hmm. And the living through can be pretty ugly at times. Not deconvert.
I think it's incredibly challenging. And that's why, you know, one of the things I was saying is that everybody's deconstruction story is different. So some people are deconstructing because they've experienced deep suffering in their life. And sometimes, as you're saying, like at the hands of somebody who is deep, like right there connected to their faith. Others, because they look back at history and they say, what I long for my faith to be and what I had hoped Jesus is does not connect with what I see when I look at the past. And so I think that one of the challenges that I experience as a minister in the church is that people are running away from the brokenness of the church as an institution. And so to get to your question, how do we solve that as the church, as a broken group of people? And so a couple things that I do is I name it. We have to own that. You know, if we're unable to do that with people, then they're going to experience us as a disingenuous people anyways, then we're not honest about who we are. One of the things I tell my church often is that, you know, if you find the perfect church, don't stay, because you're going to ruin it, you know, because there is no perfect church, of course. We're all broken people. But we leave our young folks, and so oftentimes we have this idea that, like, if you're a Christian and you're following the way of Jesus, that your life is going to be perfect and that you're going to be a completely sinless person, and that institution, that church, needs to be perfect. But that's not the case. The other thing that I do is I tell our folks that they can ask questions. So when they're experiencing those hard things, what we want to do more than anything is create that space that I was so fortunate to grow up in, create that space where you can ask anything. So for me, doubt is not a bad word. For me, doubt is just something that we need to work through in our journey of faith. And when our young folks feel the freedom to be able to go through that doubt, then when they experience those challenges, they're going to be already have it as part of their rhythm to just ask those hard questions. I have to tell you this before I go. I've got this great young, I won't say his name online, but I've got this great young 14, 15-year-old who sits back at our computer and he runs the slides on Sunday. And he has a manuscript of my sermon. And he himself has kind of been going through his own deconstruction in his own faith. And he took my sermon and he just wrote questions the whole way. And I got that. I was so pleased that he felt the freedom to be able to ask hard questions of his pastor as he's reading the sermon and clicking through slides on a Sunday morning. That's the kind of culture that I think we need to be able to create when people are going through that hard stuff you're talking about.
Thank you for engaging. Thank you for carrying on the conversation with me, with our dear listener. God knows where they are. God knows what they're going through. God knows what someone who is deconstructing or contemplating even the deconversion. I know as we go to break and we come back to our final segment, Stephen, that there are some passages in the book of Hebrews that have been cause for long theological debates over the centuries. But I would like to throw this out. For one who has deconverted, what would it like for that very same dear person to reconvert or convert? I'm trying to tread some very potentially troublesome waters here, so there's a level of vagary on purpose. But what about that? When we come back, we'll talk more with Pastor Stephen Sharkey. He's a courageous man to take on a subject like this in a place like New England, in a place like Boston, in a place like the Granite City. You can find out more about his church, Granite City Church, at granitecity.org. Thank you for staying with us, listening. There's more to engage, especially in regards to a difficult time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
today.
Well,
somebody is looking and thinking and saying and smiling, maybe smirking and saying, whoa, are they actually going to go into this subject of can one lose their salvation? I mean, you're talking about Hebrews. There are some contentious passages there. You're treading on murky, muddy waters here, Danny and Stephen Sharkey. Are you really going to go there? You're listening to The Good Life radio program. I'm grateful you're with us. Danny Yamashiro here, Stephen Sharkey, Granite City Church, granitecity.org. Well, here's the point. The point is that as we begin to discuss these things, it is not as if at the end of the show, we tie a nice red ribbon around the discussion and say, here it is, nice, clean, and neat. Well, of course not. Not if we're going to be authentic about things. But nonetheless, at least we're engaging, aren't we, Pastor Stephen? Well, let me ask this. And you can go in as deep as you want or stay as shallow as you want. in the shallow waters or the murky, deeper waters. It's okay. How has the Lord helped you through difficult times when the rains have come?
Yeah, I think that the answer that I often give to a question like this is that, and sometimes I hesitate to give this answer, but it's the most authentic one that I can give. And the reason I hesitate is because it's almost feels too simple. But I'm captivated by the person of Jesus. And my journey in faith has been one of falling more deeply in love with Jesus. And so I reject it when, you know, you have people say like, oh, you know, men don't like to talk about like being in love with Jesus. I'm like, that's not true about me. Like I can't stop talking about how much I love Jesus. And when I've been going through difficult times, the beautiful way that I've found through that is the way of Jesus and finding myself falling even more deeply in love with Jesus. So I dive into scripture. I find myself, like, I look at a person like Moses who I love Moses so much because I identify with Moses in so many different ways. But one of the things that I hope to be in my life is the kind of person who, when it seems like everything's falling apart, can have a relationship with God in which I can say, listen, can I just see you? Can you just show yourself to me? And that's where I find myself in the most challenging of circumstances. And I've been blessed to not experience a lot of tragedy in my life, but the hardest things I've experienced in my life have been in the course of planting a church. It has wrecked me in so many ways. And one of the things that has encouraged me is that it's not about my success, you know, which is such an idol for us in our cultures and for pastors as well. It's not about my success. It's not about the success of our church. It's not about, you know, me checking, you know, a certain number of boxes. It's about, like, how rich and authentic is my relationship with Jesus, and how much am I willing to just kind of to submit myself to the Lord. So very spiritual answer, and I tend to lean towards the more spiritual, but that's it for me, is that, like, all the growth and all the help and all the excitement for whatever's to come and whatever will be has been found in just cultivating a richness of life in Christ.
This yearning, this wanting God, this going after the Lord, and you're pointing to Jesus. Mm-hmm. One could look at our discussion and say, come on, Danny. Come on, Stephen. Don't you know that Christianity, hey, Jesus is not just going around placating people and making it rosy. It is suffering. It is the difficult road. Someone might even say, salvation is free, but to live the life of discipleship, Danny and Stephen, will cost you everything.
Everything. Everything.
So there is this part. And it's not because, and when I'm looking at you, I'm seeing, it's not because someone is twisting your arm behind you and you're in pain and being forced to it. There's something deeper in the love and the longing in the midst of. So would you say a word of encouragement? Then I want to ask you to pray for someone who is in immeasurable suffering, both spoken and unspoken. Mm-hmm. And give a word of encouragement and hope in the way that you do.
Yeah. I think the richest word of encouragement that I can give is that we follow a Savior. And if you're out there listening and you don't know who this person Jesus is, the encouragement I have is that we follow a God, a Savior, whose name is Jesus, who didn't just watch us go through all the pain of this life and just from a distance, but who actually came and stepped down into the midst of it and experienced it all with us, experienced the worst of us, the worst of humanity with us. He went he went through the pain of being rejected. He went through the pain of being crucified. He went through the pain of being accused of something that of people pointing and spitting and mocking him and saying he's guilty, and he was guiltless. And then only to come on the other side of that and experience resurrection. And that's the journey that we get to go on. And so you talk about the cost of following Jesus. It costs us everything, but we gain everything as well on the other side of that, of the giving of our lives. And so my encouragement for those of us who are experiencing pain is that following Jesus is it is costly, but it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And my hope for the folks in my church, my hope for anybody listening, is that at the very least they might get curious. I love curious people. We call them truth seekers at our church. We love truth seekers, because my hope and my genuine belief is that people who are seeking truth are going to find it, and they're going to find that that truth is Jesus.
Well, he does say, if you seek me, you will find me.
Mm-hmm.
When you search for me with all your heart.
That's right.
Pastor Stephen, a prayer as we close.
Oh, God, I just thank you so much that you are a God who is not unaware of every single thing that we're going through. There is no one within earshot of these words that we're speaking here that you are not aware of the suffering that they're speaking, whether it's spoken or unspoken. So, God, I pray that you would be with each and every one of those people. Remind them that you are close to them, that you care for them, and that they're blessed in the midst of the pain that they're going through. They have deep, rich opportunity to be even closer to the one who created them and the one who loves them. And that's you, and we're grateful that you pursue us in such a rich way. May we somehow return the favor by seeking what's real and what's true in this life. And by your grace, may we find you over and over again. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Stephen, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your ministry. I can hear and sense that you're a man of worship who has led many in worship in the years past in your worshipful way and spirit. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Engaging words from Pastor Stephen Sharkey, GraniteCity.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to drdanny.live for more resources, to join our prayer team or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live. And I want to thank you in advance. Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Pastor Stephen Sharkey, GraniteCity.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yee, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.